Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 414, the third stanza. I laid me down and slept, I waked, for I was kept in his divine protection. The Lord was at my side, my succor he supplied, whatever my affliction and what follows. Psalter 414, the third stanza. A portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 37, the verses 1 through 19. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 37, the first 19 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and fairly thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Jean Van Wieringa, who was in the hospital, Mr. Simon Van Wieringen, who hopes to turn 87, and Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who hopes to commemorate her birthday this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our most holy, most faithful, a good-doing and merciful God, when we may gather together in this morning hour on another Sabbath day, then thou wast given many reasons to say the same. Then in thy justice thou wast not executed thy justice, but in thy patient long-suffering we may still have a place upon the earth. Thereby thou declareth unto us and our children that thou wast no desire in our death, but therein that we may turn unto thee and live. Lord, then also in the past week, then we have received many precious things from above, and that all undeserved, and that for a sinful people that sin in thought, words, and in deeds, to that end, may it please thee to grant a broken and a humble heart, under all thy mercies, in this serious and solemn time, where thou yet separateth us from most of the people of the world, we may still have thy precious truth, and also outwardly, then thou truly granteth many a blessing in the midst of all the trials of life. There are many that are hungry, that have had nothing to eat in this day, and do not know where their next meal shall come from. We remember the country where there is war, where there is so much death, mourning, and destruction. And as the winter months approach, that the fears are only increasing how it must go. when the cold comes upon the face of the earth, O Lord, wilt thou also remember that people, may they be given to cry unto thee. May they be given to experience that thou heareth prayer indeed, and that the solemn callings that thee may be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, what is necessary for them? That is necessary for us and our children. We have begun, we have sung together, where the psalmist was given to declare that he has slept, for thou wast watched over him. And so it is also being with us and our children, perhaps not even given it a thought, that we find it so normal that we may awake every morning by renewal, and also on thy day, that we may come up to thy house. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee, as thou wast promised in thy holy word, that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save some. May thy word go forth with power divine, and that in this morning hour, in this day, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, to look upon sinners in thy free and sovereign grace, and that they may be stopped, that they may be quickened, that they may be turned, and then they shall begin to cry unto thee in truth and uprightness, with an impression of thy majesty, of thy holiness, of thy goodness, but also a solemn impression of their sinnership, sinners traveling to a never-ending eternity. And we cannot appear before thee as we are born, because thou hast declared in the scriptures, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may do a great work amongst us, among young and old, in the light of eternity. Then there is not so much difference in our age, and then also in this season, than what of preachers thou sendest unto us, where every leaf that drops to the ground, it is a picture of our life. Some thou taketh away in their youth, some in the middle age, but we shall all have to die, because it is written, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Teach us to die before we have to die. Lord, spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy people. Thou knowest their needs. Wilt thou comfort, wilt thou encourage, wilt thou instruct, wilt thou gladden them, grant the strengthening of faith. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learn that of self they can bring forth nothing, but that God dishonoring unbelief, a people that is given to pray with that Father of old, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, be so a surprising God. In this morning hour, we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. All those who may labor in thy vineyard, thy servants, elders, and deacons, do remember and help the student in this day and all the sowers of the seed. Wilt thou remember the many temporal needs amongst us and our children, then we may acknowledge thee for the little son that has undergone surgery in this past week, and the hospital stay was a little longer than expected, but, Lord, the parents were privileged, allowed to take their little son home. O wilt thou grant further healing, that the means may have been blessed, and that the calling may be sanctified. Remember the old mother that was taken to the hospital. Thou also knowest her circumstances. Lord, wilt thou be mindful of her, and that this calling may be used in her old age, for her conversion, for her eternal welfare. Wilt thou remember her dear husband, who in this week hopes to commemorate another birthday, as so we commend them both unto thee. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, remember all the sick and afflicted ones under the doctor's care, and Lord, do remember all the mourning ones. Oh, out of that mourning, that another mourning may be born, and that is a mourning of that missing. Oh, because of our sins, and our Lord, thou as a people upon the earth that learns it is so righteous, if they would have to miss thee forever, but on account of that love, then they cannot miss thee. Lord, may all the callings be sanctified. May they be used to that end. Thou knowest that thou can come with the greatest judgments, but if it is not accompanied by the irresistible and loving work of thy Holy Spirit, then we only harden our heart. Oh, our fallen Adam has been deep indeed, but, O Lord, then thou hast given unto us thy precious testimony. Oh, declared how deeply we have fallen, how wretched we are, unable, unwilling, but thy free and sovereign grace, thy chosen church, must and shall be gathered. May that take place in this day, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end. Lord, wilt thou graciously grant thy help, grant a few simple words to speak. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. Oh, bind more and more never-dying souls upon our heart. Oh, impress upon all our hearts that our time is but short, and that each time we come up to thy house can be the last time that we see one another, that we speak to one another. Lord, come then down with thy spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood. Wilt thou remember all the listeners from the youngest to the oldest? Graciously remove everything that could be a hindrance. Those that may listen along in their homes, lawfully hindered, do grant them also a blessing there. Wilt thou grant many a Aaron's and hers. Lord, then by renewal we are called upon to confess, and it is so necessary that it is experienced, to truly become unworthy, and yet beggars at thy throne of grace, all wonder-doing God, wilt thou then stretch out thy almighty arm, perform those wonders amongst us and our dear children, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 286, the stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. And what follows, Psalter 286, the stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 23, the fifth verse, the first part. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Our text words speak of the shepherd's unceasing care for a sheep in the mountain pastures, with two thoughts. In the first place, the shepherd's prepared table, and secondly, the shepherd's applied anointing oil. The shepherd's unceasing care for a sheep in the mountain pastures. The shepherd's prepared table and the shepherd's applied anointing oil. Thus first, the shepherd's prepared table. Beloved congregation, we have already heard wonderful things concerning the shepherd and the sheep. And then the most important question is for each and every one of us, whether by free and sovereign grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we have now become a sheep, even a little lamb of that good shepherd. Congregation, have we oftentimes turned in the past weeks, my unconverted fellow travelers, have we turned the different verses into prayer? When in the first verse we read, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, have there been those among young and old that have turned it into supplication, Lord, may thou now be my shepherd, then it shall be well. Then I may truly be happy. Then it shall be well for me, for time and for eternity. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, that you may have a place in God's house. Then the Lord is saying unto you that the Lord has no pleasure in your death, but therein that ye may turn and live. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has declared in Mark 1 verse 15 to the hearers the calling to repent and believe. Oh, the necessity that you may do as that Bartimaeus of old. He was so blind, but he has sat on the wayside where Jesus was passing by. And then he has cried with a loud voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Ah, oh, there were many that says, Bartimaeus, you must keep quiet. Oh, there can be so many voices. We can become so discouraged. It is no use. You are not among the chosen ones. You have been to church so often. Ah, for the older ones, what a discouragement there can be. But Bartimaeus, he kept begging and he kept crying. And then Jesus has called him. And then Jesus has said, what shall I do unto thee, Lord, that I may receive my sight? Ah, the blessed portion of the flock of that good shepherd, because the good shepherd has purchased them for body and for soul. And now in verse 4, then you can remember, then the psalmist changed. In the first three verses, we read four times he, but now in verse 4, then the sheep is given to say thou. Thus the sheep was given to speak to the shepherd. And now in our text, then the shepherd has led the whole flock through those deep and dark valleys, and now they have come to higher ground, to the mountain pastures, because when we read in our text, thou preparest the table before me. In the Western United States and in different countries of Europe, then those higher mountain pastures, they are called mesas. That is the Spanish word for tables. Thus, I think, boys and girls, you can understand when we read in our text, thou preparest the table before me, that for the sheep there was not a table as we have it in our kitchen, but that table referred when you went through the valleys, then in many places, then higher up. That is where they took the sheep for the summer months. And then they came to lovely flat lands where there was fresh pasture with the mountains rising up every side. That is what the tables refer to. And now the sheep. They have not forgotten about the shepherd. They did not only need and think about the shepherd when they were called to go through those steep valleys with those ravines and those high mountains, the difficulties, but when they have come to that beautiful pasture, then they did not forget the shepherd. And then you can picture it. Then the sheep, as it were, they have turned to the shepherd and given to thank the shepherd that they have been led hitherto, and to thank the shepherd that they were brought to those green pastures. And now we read in our text, thou preparest a table before me. Then first we must focus on those words, before me. Of course, it was also for the sheep. But the psalmist David has declared, thou preparest a table before me. Then oftentimes, such a shepherd, boys and girls, what did the shepherd think much of? What was in his mind? When he went, before he went through the valley, and concerning those pastures, then the shepherd was not thinking of himself in the first place, but then he was thinking for his whole flock, the older sheep, the mother sheep, also the little lambs. And then oftentimes such a shepherd, then already in the later spring, then he would go before the sheep would go, and then he would go through the valleys when there would be hindrances, branches, stones, take it out of the way. But then he would also go and look up in those mountain pastures, and then continually in his mind was a sheep, the flock, to seek a place for encampment, to seek whether there would be water springs. Also concerning, boys and girls, one such a shepherd, oftentimes not only in the later spring, but shortly before the sheep would go to those mountain pastures where there was more moisture, then what would the shepherd look for? Then you can understand the children. Then the shepherd would look on those mountain ranges, the trees, whether there were wolves, cougars, whatever it may be. Then he would look closely to the ground, whether there were tracks of those wild animals continually, with the welfare of the sheep in his mind. And of course, in later ages, when the shepherd would have a rifle, then he would try to shoot those wild animals. Thus, what we read in our text, "Thou preparest the table before me," then it includes much. Then they tell us that the shepherd, sometime he would take a few children along, because in those pasture lands, there could be poisonous plants, beautiful flowers, that if a sheep, especially a lamb, would even nibble on, would become paralyzed and die. Thus the shepherd with the sons would have to go over that pasture and to pick out those poisonous plants. Thus when we read in our text words, "Thou preparest a table before me," that is that continual care and the foresight concerning a sheep. It all concerned a sheep. And now our solemn, all let us add, before we go to the Good Shepherd, even much richer, "Thou preparest the table before me, also for me," then boys and girls, then the shepherd, that is also a beautiful picture of fathers and mothers. Because boys and girls, what do you think your father and mother is continually busy with? Who are they thinking of? That is of you. It was already before you were born, when you were a little baby, but it continues, a mother continually concerning the provision for husband and children, the husband concerning his daily bread, then the arist that shepherd with the sheep. And I hope, boys and girls, as you become older, that you think of those things and that you do not forget it. Because what an awful thing it is. Of course, when you were a little baby and you were fussy, you could not help it. Because to make your needs known, you could only cry. But when you become older and you are disobedient, that is a willful choice that you make. And to that end, boys and girls, because what a terrible thing it is when boys and girls, when they become older, that they forget all the care and all the love of father and mother, when they become disobedient, step on their heart, cause them to cry much, and even to go into the world. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Then the Good Shepherd, preparing that table, grace. Then we could speak of grace and providence. Then the Good Shepherd has went before a sheep. Already in the never begun eternity, in the Council of Peace, there the Good Shepherd has went before a sheep, where he so willingly, so freely, and so lovingly has given himself to be the shepherd for a sheep, that he would give his life, because those sheep, they all lie under the sentence of death, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And where the Good Shepherd in the Council of Peace has declared in Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God, and thy law is written within my heart." Oh, he has went before a sheep. He has even become a sheep. He has assumed our human nature. He went before a sheep in the fullness of time, where he was born in the stable, laid in the manger. He has went before a sheep, because before the sheep have come up to the mountain, they have first went through the valley of the shadow of death, and now Christ has went before them through that valley. Think of Gethsemane, where the Father has given his dear Son that cup filled with all the sins of his people, and he has so willingly taken it. Oh, what a valley of the shadow of death it was when Christ was given to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, where that wrath was so terrible. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Oh, he has went before a sheep in Gabbatha. There he was judged instead of his people, and he has been declared guilty because he was willing to take all the sins of a sheep upon him. Oh, what a love, what a gospel for the church of God. Thou preparest the table before me. Ah, for Christ. Then in Gethsemane there was no table prepared. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was led outside of Jerusalem, it is believed, because it is written that many that passed by, they beheld him, that Golgotha, Calvary's cross, was on a mount. Oh, then on that height, there was no table prepared for the shepherd. But what was there, boys and girls? There was a cross. There he was crucified. There he is hung. There were no green pastures. He has cried out in that darkness, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies, but he is risen as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the way of application, then he prepares the table before his church, and that is in the way of grace. He sends forth the Spirit. They are wrought upon. They are taught spiritual lessons. Oh, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that sinners may be brought. Oh, they learn what they deserve, not a table, but the bottom of hell. But then Christ, in the state of his exaltation, then he prepared the table before the presence of his enemies. We read concerning a preparation in Judges 4, verse 14, that Deborah has said to Barak, "Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" Oh, in the way of grace, but also in the way of providence, that he provides for a people. Thou preparest the table before me. Ah, then we think of another table. That is the table of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in his love for the strengthening of the faith of his people, then he has instituted that Holy Supper. Oh, a table. He is the host. He has given provision, the broken bread and the poured out wine. Oh, it declares the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then on those flat lands up in the mountains, then on the sides there were those hills and mountains with forests. And that is where the wolves, cougars, and other wild animals dwelt. What an eerie feeling, if we may describe it so, it was for those sheep, when they may graze on those green pastures, but knowing that out of the forest there were eyes staring at them. What a fear that must have instilled in the hearts of the sheep, knowing that there were eyes looking upon them, and only one desire, those eyes, that there may come the opportunity that those wild animals may come out of the forest, destroy, and to kill those sheep. Because we read in our text, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That tells us that the enemies, those wild animals, the birds, that they were looking upon those sheep, that flock, with one desire, to disturb them and to kill and devour them. Oh, there have been many shepherds that have seen the result in the morning, have seen dead sheep, eaten sheep, bruised sheep, sheep that have went on a stampede, maybe broken their leg, but that they have never seen the cougar. Thus thou preparest the table before me in the midst of mine enemies. We read of the devil that he goes about as a roaring lion. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, we have said what that must have been for those sheep and for those lambs when they were grazing, with the knowledge that there were those eyes around them staring at them by day and by night. What a picture of the devil. We read in Job 1 and Job 2, when the Lord has asked Satan once he came, going up and down, to and fro through the world. So congregation, the devil is real. And the devil with a purpose, to keep us under his power, under his grip, comes with many temptations and only one desire, that is to destroy us. The devil is real, and he has but a short time. Then we think of those sheep on that table, that mountain pasture. Many blessings. Great privilege to be under the administration of the external administration of the covenant of grace. And now to think of those sheep, thou preparest the table before me, also for me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What would be the wisdom for the sheep, boys and girls? What must those sheep now do? Those wild animals, even during the daytime, which sheep and which lambs shall they focus on? Our children can understand it. Those that stay very close to the shepherd, they are the safest. But when there is a loner, can be different reasons, can also be that we become so discouraged. The Lord has a people at times that they are afraid that they are none of His. And that is a Thomas, that they seclude themselves. But our children can understand when there was a sheep, a lamb, that would separate themselves from the flock, that such a one would be an easy prey for the wild animals. Thus, the necessity to stay close to the flock. I read in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Thus to stay close to the shepherd, and to stay under the truth. There the Lord has promised special blessings. Thou preparest the table before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. That is our second thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 81, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. As secured by thy unfailing grace, in thee they find a hiding place. When foes their plots devise, a sure retreat thou wilt prepare, and keep them safely sheltered there. And what follows, Psalter 81, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. the shepherd's unceasing care for his sheep in the mountain pastures. The shepherd's prepared table. Secondly, the shepherd's applied anointing oil. Concerning the mountain pastures, then we read in Ezekiel 34, verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie down in a good fold and in a fat pasture. They shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. And in Isaiah 25, verse 6, concerning the blessings for the sheep of the good shepherd, there we read of a feast of fat things in the mountains. And now for the sheep. Then their thought is, oh, I hope that there may be many such, because those sheep, and even more so the lambs, who would go through the valley to those mountain pastures for the first time, then they have surely thought that is what the true child of God, those seeking and hungry souls, that they think when I may now be led through that deep valley of deeper uncovering, and when I may now come on that mountain pasture, on that tableland, the further leadings of the Spirit, when I may now come to a knowledge of the Good Shepherd, then my trials, then my strife shall be over. Then I shall be given to rejoice and continually to eat in those green pastures. And then my thanksgiving shall be so full. Then I shall be as David the Psalmist in our text. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then such a soul can think, then my troubles and my trials shall be over. And oh, it is true, because in that mountain pasture, we have spoken of the evil spirits. But what do I read of the good angels? In Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear them. The protection of the angels of the Lord concerning the sheep, Christ has declared in John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, the natural shepherd, then oftentimes, many a times, then he loses his sheep or more sheep when he rises in the morning. But the good shepherd, those that have been given unto him by the Father, those whom he has purchased by his precious blood, those where the Spirit has made a beginning, never one shall perish. But now for the sheep in the summer months, when they have come upon those tablelands, lushy pastures, waters to drink, oh, times that they may lie down in green pastures. Thou leadest me beside still waters, as we read in verse 2. But in the summertime, that is fly time, I read in Romans 8, because of our sin, that the whole creation groaneth. And in the summertime, for domestic animals, but also for wild animals, then all those flies and insects that bothered them continually. Sometimes it seems that those animals, they tell us sometimes sheep, because of all the flies, many different kinds of flies, even flies that lay eggs in their nose and that the little worms crawl up into their head. Terrible suffering that with all the flies, that the sheep, they run into the forest, they bang their heads many times at their wit's end. Sometimes they go blind. Sometimes those flies, they are so afraid to go into the pastures, that young and old, that they become skinny. And to that end, the shepherd, the suffering of the sheep, that is the suffering because he has compassion upon those sheep. And to that end, on those tablelands up in the mountains, then we read, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Then in earlier days was a combination of natural ingredients. The oil was the main ingredient. And now concerning those flies, then the shepherd, he would take that mixture of oil and that he would anoint them. In the margin it said to make fat. Then the shepherd, that he would take that anointing oil and he would put it on the heads of those sheep, that the insects would be repelled. What a beautiful picture. Because in the Bible, then oil is a type of the Holy Ghost, the work of the Holy Ghost. And we read concerning the Holy Spirit that he is called the Comforter. And now what a flies there can be in our life. Many times the expression is used, things that bug us. Heard that, boys and girls. That undoubtedly comes from all the insects that surround us. What a daily cares, difficulties, temptations, family trials that can disturb the life of the sheep, that they can become so great that they are given to hide in the forest where the wild animals are. But now we read in our text, the shepherd, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Have a type thereof, of the oil as an emblem of the Holy Spirit in Zechariah 4. And now for the shepherd, after he has anointed those sheep with that oil, the flies would be repelled. Then they would pasture, they would graze, and they would lie down. Then they may rest. Then in the second place, then shepherds also tell us that there can be parasites, can be scab, different diseases, and that the sheep also needs to be anointed. Then the whole sheep, from the top to the bottom, needed to be dipped in that solution that they may be healed. And now shepherds tell us that there are diseases that are very contagious, sin, temptations, unbelief. "Thou anointest my head," but concerning scab, then it would be the whole body. And we read concerning the great shepherd of blood and of water, of blood for justification and water for sanctification. And that would be for the healing of the sheep. "Thou anointest my head with oil." Then in the olden days, shepherds tell us that they would also anoint certain sheep with oil. In the margin it said, "Make us fat." and that was in the fall time when it was mating season. And then the rams, they would begin to buck, clash, that sometimes you could hear that banging, and different times that the one ram would even kill the other. And then they tell us that the shepherds in olden day up in those mountain pastures, that they would take oil, we would say boys and girls, they would take the grease gun, and they would smear the heads of those rams with that grease, and then those rams would run into each other, and they would slide off of one another. They would be astonished, confused, think this does not make sense, and they would continue their way. Is that also necessary for the sheep, the true sheep, and even the lambs of the good shepherd, that they are anointed with oil in that sense? Oh, we have the examples in the Bible. Aaron, the high priest, sister Miriam, who feared the Lord greatly, who was given to sing the praises of the Lord, who one day have crossed through the Red Sea, but in Numbers 12, then we read jealousy, envy, much also concerning the sheep. Alas, that awful pride, and that Miriam seemed like she was the instigator, she was the oldest, spoken to Aaron, I think Moses, our youngest brother, he has taken too much upon him, and they have come and expressed it, but the Lord has taken it up for Moses. What about the New Testament? Are there also examples? We read of the disciples that different times, even after special blessings, we would say, when they have fed upon those green pastures where they should be so humble and so thankful, that they were busy with who was the most and who the greatest. After the Mount of Transfiguration, even read with the Lord's Supper that they were busy who was the greatest. Think of Paul and Barnabas. They have also come to disagreement. But now we read in our text, thou anointest my head with oil. That is the work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And when that takes place, then it all becomes very different. In Galatians 5, the verses 19 through 21, we read of the works of the flesh, and the list is long. But then in the following verses, then we read of the work of the Holy Spirit. That is that anointing oil. And then we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The blessed fruit of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we may see it with the sheep. And now concerning those sheep, during the summer months, then it was not only sufficient that the sheep would see the shepherd with his bottle of oil. Would not do the sheep any good. You can understand it, boys and girls. would give them hope and expectation. But what was now necessary? Not that oil in the bottle or in the vessel, but that that oil was applied to their heads, and that not only once, but each time by renewal. Then that shepherd was continually busy watching, taking notice of a sheep, how they were acting, the season, and when that oil did not have the effect no more, then those sheep needed a fresh anointing. If those sheep, if they could speak, and if they could ask, then those sheep, they oftentimes, though in our text it is implied, the sheep in our text, with a humble and with a thankful heart to make it simple congregation, then those sheep, when they were eating on those green pastures, they did not forget the shepherd, but they said, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, shepherd, how good, how caring, how thoughtful concerning the care of the shepherd." We have read together out of Psalm 37, where the psalm was given to instruct concerning all the cares. Then we have heard it for those sheep: trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Ah, for the sheep to simply look, trust in the shepherd, stay close at his side. And then in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That makes a separation. Can be a Christendom that needs the gift that is given to speak much of the gifts, but they do not delight themselves in the Lord and everything that belongs to the Lord, but those true sheep. All those gifts, those pastures, thou preparest the table before me, and that anointing, you can picture it, boys and girls, how happy a sheep would be when it would not be bothered with flies for a while, that they could peacefully graze, all the cares and the worries gone. But in our text, then the sheep is given to turn to the shepherd, look at the shepherd, thank the shepherd, praise the shepherd. Thus the sheep, as we read in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Instruction for the sheep. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And that is necessary each time by renewal. When we read, "Thou anointest my head with oil," then we could also speak, Lord's Day number 12, why art thou called a Christian? Because by faith, partaker of the anointing of Christ, and to that end, anointed to a threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. What a blessed place that the sheep David was in our text. not in the first place are the gifts or present. The sheep was given to see. Sheep was not given simply to eat, but the sheep was given to see, who had prepared that pasture necessary for the child of God to be led into the mysteries of salvation, how that the great shepherd has went before them also in the presence of their enemies. Think of Matthew 4, where the good shepherd was tempted thrice, but where he has defeated the enemy to be anointed with oil. And I read in Psalm 92, that is the Psalm for the Sabbath day, there the psalmist was given to declare, shall be anointed with fresh oil, the blessed portion of the lambs, the sheep of the good shepherd. And now by renewal the question, are we included? Can we identify with certain portions of the solemn? Who does their heart go out after? What are we busy with? Have we been uncovered to our sins? Has the good shepherd become necessary, suitable, and precious to us? Oh, by renewal, when we are still a goat, may we be given to ask much, use the means of grace faithfully, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. He is so worthy to be served, such a good service. Then even with our mind, when we think of this solemn, simply describe the emblem of a natural shepherd and a sheep, only a faint type of the good shepherd, but the blessedness of the people of God. Oh, in our text, Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Ah, then the psalmist, when he continues, we read in Psalm 48, verse 14, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of precious things, and who is able to declare the riches of the precious things of the Lord? In our text words, a simple natural example and instruction, but it is such a faint type. Ah, Lord, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Ah, may it please thee to use it, that there may be souls that become so jealous, given to see what they miss, how poor they are, and that they are not a sheep with only a body, but that they are a created human being with a body and soul traveling to a never-ending eternity. Ah, Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly. Remember souls that are in the valley of the shadow of death. Ah, with a prayer and a cry unto thee, the living God, when they may be brought to those mountain pastures, thinking that the trial shall be all over. Lord, remember thy children. Wilt thou grant them each time by renewal that hunger and thirst, and a heart to acknowledge and thank thee, and to need that anointing of thy Spirit each time by renewal. Ah, thou knowest all the cares and all the temptations. Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day. Keep us over the unsafe roads. Remember the family circles. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 370, the two stanzas, how good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. Such love is like anointing oil that consecrates for holy toil the servants of the Lord. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce, the Lord willing, there will be a Reformation Day service tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Psalter 370, the two stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.